Let us turn to the Word of God. Please turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Come, let us hear the Word of the living God. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, What do we, for this man doeth many miracles. Amen. We'll end the reading there, thus far the reading of God's holy word, and we pray he will bless it to us this evening. Young people, please have your Bibles open there to that passage of Scripture that I read and you're hearing just a few moments ago, John chapter 11. Now, those of you who were here last time will no doubt remember that we considered last time the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10 and verse 10, where he said, I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ was proclaiming to the Jews that he is the one who is the I Am, the great I Am. And he says, I am come that they may have life. Now, some of you, as I remarked last time, may think, well, that's very bad English, where we read, I am come that they may have life. Well, the translators of our Bible have been very careful not to neglect this very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was claiming to be God. He is I Am. Now you say, well, what does that mean, I Am? Well, very simply, the Jews understood what I Am meant. If you have a look in your Bibles at John chapter 8, you will see there in verses 57 and verse 58, when Jesus Christ was arguing with the Jews or debating with the Jews, or they were rather contending with him, he said, I Am. Before Abraham was, I Am. And then they picked up stones to kill him, to put him to death. And that simply was because that phrase, I am, means God. When God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and Moses wanted to go back to the people and say who had sent him, God said, go and say to the people, I am, has sent you. And he said the same thing when he was to appear before Pharaoh, I am, have sent you. So that phrase there, I am, here in the Gospel of John, there are seven I Ams. You notice here in John chapter 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. There are seven I Ams, the great I Ams, where the Lord Jesus Christ is manifestly, plainly stating that he is God. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine. In all of those, he was claiming to be nothing less than God in the flesh, co-equal with the Father, co-eternal, always existed with God. In the beginning, the Bible says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we're told in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh. So Jesus Christ is I Am. He is God in the flesh. And this is why the Jews wanted to kill him, because they were saying that he was being blasphemous by claiming to be God. But of course he is God. He said to them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is God in the flesh. He is now in heaven. Jesus Christ has taken to himself a body which he will never ever relinquish. Before he came into this world, he never had a body. But when he came into this world, he took to himself also humanity. Now of course Jesus Christ has two natures. He's fully God, but he is also fully man. And so when he came into the world, he said these seven great I Am sayings. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life, and so on. And here in John chapter 11, it is the verse 25 that is our text. This is going to be our key verse tonight. We're coming back to this theme. And the theme I want us to consider, or the truth I want us to consider, is that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. He that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, though he die, shall see life. But he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him. Now, here he is dealing with his disciples in John chapter 11. You'll see the context here, and they are ministering in the region of Judea. Already much persecution has come upon him. And they said, why do you want to go back? Well, if you have a look at verse 1 with me, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ has a very dear friend whose name is Lazarus. Lazarus of Bethany. We read in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, which would be Mary, and Lazarus. So Lazarus is the brother of Martha and Mary. The Lord Jesus Christ loved this man and his family tremendously. But this man, this friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, lay dying in Bethany. And he hears news. These two sisters send out word that their brother is dying. And he's close to the point of death. And so he receives this bad news. But if you look at verse 4, the sickness, he says, is not unto death. What does he mean by that? Well, he means this, that this sickness that Lazarus has is not going to end up in a permanent death. He is going to die, because you've only got to read down to the verse 14 there where the Lord Jesus Christ says he's already dead. But this sickness that Lazarus had did not result in a permanent bodily death for Lazarus. Yes, he was dead for 4 days, but he did not experience eternal torment. Have a look at verse 4. But the reason for this death is for the glory of God. Do you see that there? In other words, what's going to take place, and as we've read here in this account, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to raise this friend of his, this very dear friend, he's going to raise him from the dead after 4 days. And that's quite remarkable. Nobody can raise the dead but God. And so, therefore, we have our text, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, if you notice in the account here, when the Lord Jesus Christ receives news that Lazarus is very ill and to the point of death, he delays. He doesn't go immediately out to Lazarus. Have a look. Verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode, that is, he stayed, 2 days still in the same place where he was. And of course, where he was to go to Bethany was, we're told here, another 2 days' journey. So he was dead 4 days by the time he had got there. He delayed. And then if you look at verse 14, on the way to Bethany, when he leaves with his disciples, he says to them very plainly, look, he said to them, Lazarus is dead. Now, what we've got to say as we pause for a moment, as we look at the scene, as we go there, young people, in our mind's eye, I want you to think for a moment, how is it that the Lord Jesus Christ can know that this friend of his is dead? How can he know this? How can anybody know this? It's miles away from him. Well, the simple answer is this. Jesus Christ is God. He is omniscient. That means he knows all things. He knew that this would take place. And he knew the very hour that Lazarus would die. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, young people, is the giver of life. But he is also the taker of life. He is God. He gives life and he takes life. He gives me life and he takes away my life. He gives you life. And he takes away life too from you. Now, have a look at verse 14 again. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes. Here he's going to tell us why. That I was not there, to the intent ye may believe believe what, you say? Well, you're going to believe that I am the resurrection and the life. They will believe, as will many people that have already gathered there from Jerusalem, because we're told in this chapter that many of Martha's and Mary's friends are coming in from Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was not far away from Bethany. And they're all going to learn that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. They're going to believe that he is the Son of God who has power over death. That's what they're going to believe. And so he was glad for that sake, because he could perform this miracle. So he deliberately stays 2 days for the sake of all these things. Now I want you to, for a moment, consider the very fact we're told here that the Lord Jesus Christ loved Lazarus. And we're also told, if you look there in the verse, that he wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible, you know. Jesus wept. He wept. When he came to the grave of Lazarus, he was so upset, so distraught in his own heart. Now, I want you to think for a moment. Consider this, young people. The Lord Jesus Christ was so willing to even put himself under this heartache, to lose a friend in death, to know that that friend would have to go through the agonies of an illness that would lead to his death, all to demonstrate to you, young people, and me, and the people there on the scene, that he is the resurrection and the life. You say, well, is it important? Let me tell you, it is the most important thing you can know. That Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Because these things, young people, have eternal consequences. You must know that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Because you must believe upon him for the forgiveness of your sins. You must believe that he has the power to raise sinners such as you and I, who have sinned against a holy God. He has power to raise us and to take us to heaven. Why? Because he dies for sinners. And he takes the place of sinners. So consider, the Lord Jesus Christ was even so willing to put his dear friend Lazarus and himself through all of this pain, through all of this anguish, through all of this death, to demonstrate this to you, because it is so important. Have a look at verse 35. If you think that this cost the Lord Jesus Christ nothing, that he was God and that he could go through the motions of somebody dying and it having no effect on him, have a look at verse 35. It says, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. In other words, when you looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, you could tell that this was not fake. You could tell that this was real and genuine. The Lord Jesus Christ, having known what this poor friend of his, Lazarus, had gone through, he wept. Now, of course, why do we die? We've got to answer that question. The Bible tells us, because of sin. The wages of sin is death. And this is why there's illness in the world. We get sick, we get ill, because sin came into the world. And we're all going to die unless, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. We're all going to taste death. It's because of sin. That's why there's sickness. And God warned our first parents, Adam and Eve, that the day that they sinned, they would die. That they would enter death. And all of them that follow them, all of their posterity, all of their offspring would experience death. And so the Bible tells us that death spread to all men, for all have sinned. Now, I'm sidetracking there slightly just to explain to you that, you see, we die because of sickness, because of illness. It's because of sin. And Lazarus was going to die again. Make no mistake. Lazarus died twice. But you know what? Lazarus will be raised twice. Lazarus was raised the first time because he belonged to Jesus Christ, because he was repentant of his sins, because he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's true for everybody that's a Christian. If we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if we repent of our sins, we will be raised again to everlasting life, and we will never ever see corruption. We will never see death. But here, Lazarus serves as an example of what we shall taste when Jesus Christ comes again. Jesus, who says here, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And you see, only the Lord Jesus Christ, being God, has the power over death. And I say, young people, this is so important. There is nothing more important for you to know in this world than how to get to the next world. There's nothing more important. Life is so short and so fleeting. This life is just maybe 60, 70 years if we live to that age. But eternity is eternity. It's forever. And so that's why this is so important. It's such a vital truth. Nothing can be more important to your soul tonight. And so we must believe the words of the Lord Jesus there. "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." If you turn over to John chapter 5 in your Bibles, here is a situation where the Lord Jesus Christ has just healed a man who for 38 years had palsy. And he healed this man on the Sabbath, and the Jews wanted to kill him. What monsters these men were. No compassion for people. Claiming to be the people of God, but because the Lord Jesus Christ healed a man on the Sabbath, showed an act of mercy and compassion. Of course, this wasn't work. They wanted to stone him. But look what he says in John 5:28. "Marvel not at this," he's speaking to them, "for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice," that's him, the Son of Man, "and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation." In other words, on the final day of judgment, there is going to be a general resurrection of all people. Everybody that has ever died, whether you've been buried in the sea, whether you've been buried in the soil, your body will come together fully animated. Believe it. Believe it with all your heart, because if God made this universe out of nothing, and the scientist tells you that this universe, this great big universe, came out of nothing, that's impossible. Where did the universe, how did it begin? It had to have started somewhere. God made everything that wasn't there before, and God that made everything that wasn't there before can cause your body and my body to come out of the graves and to stand fully animated before him. The Bible says, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And if Jesus Christ could raise this man from the dead, he will raise every single one of us, young people, from the dead. He not only raised this one man, but many from the dead. Now let's come back to the text. "And when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already." 4 days already. So he's been dead 4 days, this man. And then you see great crowds arriving. Verse 18. "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother." They obviously had a lot of friends. They were liked. These were two loving sisters and a dear brother. And so they have friends come to comfort them. Now I want you to notice, we see in this chapter here two believing sisters. Now, there is also a believing brother, but the believing brother is dead, Lazarus. But two believing sisters. Firstly, Martha. I want you to notice her faith. "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." You see her faith? She knew that God the Father hears this one, the Lord Jesus. "Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live." So she believes. And then you see the belief of Mary, verse 32. Then when Mary was come, where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You see, she understood that the Lord Jesus Christ could have kept this man from dying. He not only has the power over death, but he has the power over life to keep life. And then come down to the verse 33. You see the weeping of Mary and the Jews. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came unto her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? So they knew. They had heard of his miracles of opening people's eyes, healing the dumb, healing the lepers. They knew this. And so they puzzled. Why didn't he do anything? We heard he stayed 2 days behind. And then he came. Another 2 days' journey, 4 days. Well, the Lord Jesus makes very clear here that the reason is that God would show forth his power. He was definitely dead. After 4 days, the body, you see, was so rotting. Martha says the body stinks. She was worried about opening this tomb, having the stone rolled away. He was definitely dead. And then you see the cry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He groans within his spirit. He's mourning this friend. And let me say this, young people, death is a terrible thing. But you know, God is a holy God. And it's because of sin we die. It's only a matter of time when we die. Because we sinned from birth now. And we're all going to die. And it's sad. But it's not the end of the story for us if we believe. If we believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, if we come to him and if we confess our sins, this same Lord Jesus died for sinners. There on the cross, Jesus Christ took the punishment that was due to his sheep. He said, I lay down my life for my sheep. If you are Christ's, you will repent of your sins. And have this assurance, young people, that you know this, when you die, just as the Lord Jesus Christ calls out from the grave here, Lazarus, he calls him out and says, Come forth, Lazarus. There is coming a day when he will call you out of your grave, and it will not be to a resurrection of condemnation, but it will be to a resurrection of everlasting life. Why? Because this Lord Jesus Christ truly went to a cross and was forsaken by God the Father. The Bible says God spared not his only begotten Son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he also not also along with him freely give us all things, including everlasting life? So look here, he calls him out. Lazarus, come forth. And what did Lazarus do? He came forth. He came forth, still wrapped up in all of these grave clothes. You can imagine the scene, like a walking mummy. And he comes forth, and everybody sees. Look at the scene here. All these men see. Many believe. But many despised him. Having seen, could you imagine this? Having seen this man raise somebody from the dead, there are still those that hate him and loathe him because they did not want to repent. I wonder, are you like that? Is this story here, it's not a story in the sense that we talk about stories, but is this account not proof enough for you young people that Jesus Christ is who he says he is? And what we read there from John chapter 5, when he said that he is going to come again, marvel not, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall come forth. Is this account not enough for you to believe that one day you will stand before him? And you've heard this account, you've read it with me. And I've preached to you the need to repent and to put your trust in Christ. Will you be like the rest of these Jews who walked away? Well, you may not want to kill him, but you may be very indifferent to these things, young people. Let me say this, you can't be indifferent to this. And you mustn't be indifferent to this. Because without the forgiveness of our sins, we will not have eternal life. And our sins certainly will not be forgiven. So there is a very real need to repent. Jesus said, I am come that they may have life. Jesus Christ calls and will raise from the graves to eternal life all of them that have been quickened spiritually in this life. If you've been born again, and that means, number one, that you see Christ, who he is, as the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And if you repent, and if you believe in him, that is what we call the new birth. It's all part of it. And God is doing a work in you, and he is causing you to be made more and more like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all part of the new birth. Those same people he will raise to eternal life. Just as here Lazarus was a believer, and just as Martha was a believer, and Mary was a believer, all of God's people will be raised to eternal life one day. Let me ask, are you one of those people that has repented and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? He quickens Christians. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, and Paul is writing here to Christians, he says, and you hath he quickened. If you're a Christian, you have been quickened, you've been enlivened to these things. You understand them, you now love the Lord Jesus. Let me ask you, young people, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question. Do you love him, having seen how he has loved you? The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. Let me ask you the question. Are you a friend of the Lord Jesus? Do you love him? Do you love him like Lazarus, Martha, and Mary did? Then you can say, yes, God has quickened me. I was once dead in trespasses and sins. I once despised the Lord Jesus, but now I love him who died for all of my sins. Are you like Mary and Martha and Lazarus? I just want to turn you to a text in Ephesians 5, and we'll close with some thoughts there. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Here is a word to those who are spiritually asleep. There are people who are spiritually, you might be walking and you might be talking, but the Bible says this, that we, if we are Christians, we are now quickened. You hath he quickened, who were once dead in trespasses and sins. But here, Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Your heart might be beating here tonight, but if you are not a Christian, the Bible says you are sleeping. You're in this spiritual sleep. Here, the unbeliever is pictured as asleep spiritually. What can we say about people who sleep? Experts tell us, young people, that in dreams we can do anything. Maybe you dream sometimes you can fly when you're asleep. We can have things in our dreams that we don't have in life. Isn't that true? We dream we have this, we dream we have that. So it is with life, those who are spiritually asleep. People go through life like it's a dream. In dreams. Now I'm comparing the two. When we dream, we do irresponsible things, don't we? But let me say this, so do we in life. You are playing Russian roulette. Every night you go to bed and you don't ask God to forgive you. Because you may not wake up to see tomorrow. In dreams, there's irresponsibility. We do things we would never imagine doing. There's no accountability when we have dreams. Everything is disorganized. There's chaos. Aren't your dreams like that? My dreams are like that. Sometimes you have dreams, you think, what have I dreamt? This is all nonsense. But, you know, life, until we are spiritually awakened, doesn't make sense. And therefore, this is why we read here, therefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. If you are not born again, you are sleeping. In dreams, we imagine we're somebody else. There's escapism. And so it is in life. You imagine, as a young person, you're going to live forever and ever. And so it is with unbelieving people. It's escapism. Well, I'll pretend God isn't. And I'll live every day of my life as if there's no accountability to God. Isn't it interesting also, have you ever had these dreams? When you dream, you dream that you're running away from somebody. Have you experienced that? A lot of my dreams have been that I'm running away from somebody. But so it is in life, young people, if you are not spiritually awakened, you're running away from God. In dreams, time doesn't matter. And so it is, you know, in life, unless we are spiritually awakened, we just go through year after year carelessly, no accounting to God. Something else, the experts say, that in dreams, you never dream about going to see the doctor, or you never dream about eating. And let me say, it's the same thing in life. If you're not spiritually quickened, if you're not born again, you don't come to the real physician for your soul, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't want to, certainly, you don't want to eat anything that's spiritual. Now, young people, we need to be quickened. Have a look at our text there. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let me say in closing, young people, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were all spiritually awakened. They knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was. They believed in him. Now the question is, do you believe? Do you believe? They weren't going through life as if life just ended with us going to the grave. No, they believed Jesus Christ was the resurrection and the life. This world, young people, who you hold onto so dearly, and the world that you admire, you know what it says to you? You're not important. What the world says is you are just matter. The world says you just live here for a few years and you just go to the grave. And that's the end of your life. You're no more important than an animal. You are far more important than that. You have a never dying soul. And that soul, young people, needs to awake. And so we're told here, awake. What does it mean to awake? Number one, let me say firstly, we can't awake ourselves. God quickens us. But what it means is this, arise, repent, acknowledge who you are. You know you're going against what is right. You know you're going against your instincts. You know that you've denied God all these years. You know that you've polluted your life. But awake out of that. And then look, secondly, arise. That means trust in Christ. Believe in him. Take his word. Arise. Stop living that way. Believe on Christ who died for sinners. And then lastly, look, the promise, and Christ shall give you light. Light to know the sure promise, young people of heaven. Light to know that your sins are forgiven. Light to know that when you die, however old you are, you will go to be with Christ forever and forever. The young people, as we close tonight, I want you to think of the happiness of Martha and Mary as they saw their dear brother Lazarus come forth and see life. But that will be a picture of all of us if we repent and put our trust in Jesus Christ. There is a day when we will have to meet Christ. What will we do with his words? I pray we will believe on Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And he proved it time and time again. But ultimately, through his own death, he died, took our place, was raised on the third day, now seated at the right hand of the majesty of God, and now he ever lives to intercede for us. What will we do with his words? Let us pray.